give you an update of what we've been up to. And actually, this past year, we started getting involved more with helping churches with their building projects. And we helped out a church that they were running 12 fans and 9 lights in their church with 1 light switch. They brought the power from the pole into the light switch, and then they were, which that's probably not real safe. So we helped them with getting their breaker box and getting it done right, so that at least they didn't have to worry about, you know, the place catching on fire. We also helped a couple of churches to add on expanding because they're making room for more people, which that's a good thing. And also, we helped a church out with provided the funds so they could buy tile, so they could tile the floor because it was just a cement floor.
One of the things the Lord laid on my heart is there's a very small window of moral compass throughout Belize, and so there's a lot of infidelity. There's a lot of they just don't understand, you know, about purity and that. So I was doing a lot of studying on purity and abstinence and things like that, and I went to a high school and offered that I would do some teaching. Well, they really embraced that. And the first high school I went to, they actually invited me back. I went last fall, and they invited me again in January to come back and do another teaching. Another high school, that first high school had about 250 kids. The second high school I went to had about 350. And we had an altar call, and about 40 kids came forward, and, you know. And so just teaching them about valuing themselves enough to save themselves for, you know, for marriage. And so then I got started getting invited to high school or to youth groups. And so I've done a lot of focusing on that for a lot of my midweek teachings. I've done a lot of kids outreaches. I had reported a couple years ago someone donated a Cricut machine to me. So I have given well over 1,000 T-shirts out to children. I design them myself and go to different parts of different villages, and we do play games with the kids, teach them Bible stories, and then we give them a T-shirt. And so it's really been a blessing. I also have started doing caps, and so I go to the youth groups and I give these teenagers these caps. We did a pastor's conference. A friend came down, and he wanted to get to know more pastors throughout Belize, and because of our relationship building, we work with over 50 churches throughout Belize, and so I decided, okay, I'll do a pastor's conference, and then they can meet him, so we had a real blessed time. We had about 120, 130 pastors and church leaders come to the conference, So then the teaching I did, then the pastors came to me and they said, can you come to my church? I want my people to hear this teaching. And so that was, you know, that's always a wonderful thing when it can really bless them. I did a big, huge study on the Jezebel spirit. And I started doing series on that and going into the churches, and they would have me come like maybe 4 or 5 weeks in a row teaching on that subject in the churches. And a lot of the churches did not understand anything about the Jezebel spirit. And it's like, oh, a light goes on. Oh, now I understand some of the problems that we've been having. And so education is so important.
One of the pastors that we work with there, he's started a radio station in the northern part of Belize, where we've ministered, and he's actually asked Colleen to do like a weekly radio study, And so she's already done, I don't know, one or two. And the nice thing is that she can kind of record that and send that. So she doesn't have to be, because it's like a three-hour drive to go up to Orange Walk. And she can do it and record it and send it out to them.
I continue to do several youth ladies outreaches, and we play games, and I do a teaching, and just to have fellowship, and they enjoy coming into our home and having swallowship and just to encourage the ladies. We continue to have a lot of outreaches with pastors coming to our home, bringing their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. We had a pastor just recently, there were 35 of them in our home. We don't have that big a home, but we managed to have them all there. We had a meal together, and it just encourages them, because I believe relationship building is so, so important. We've been had many more, several more churches opened up to us that we had never ministered in before, and because of relationships and people have introduced us, and so I just think it's so wonderful. There's a lot of coffee shops that are starting to sprout throughout Belize and throughout, you know, even our town area. And I go in these coffee shops and I get to know the gals that are running these shops by name and start talking to them, and I've prayed with many of them. And, you know, so that's another ministry tool that we've had this opportunity to have. Some friends started bringing socks and underwear for children, so I would do these distributions of socks and underwear. And the thing that really blessed me, I ran out of underwear for like these 14-year-old boys, and they were determined that they were going to fit into those size 8 underwear. And I told my friend, I said, they probably don't even have underwear. You know, they probably don't own underwear. So to them, this is just really a treat. And for those of us here, a lot of times we take those things for granted. And, you know, so it's really a blessing to be able to bless these people.
We were really blessed. The last 2 weeks that we were in Belize, our son and daughter-in-law,
stand up, Muriel,
came and spent some time with us. And the reason being is we're not getting any younger. And we wanted to find somebody that we could pass the baton to. I mean, we had a vision for building a ministry center in Belize. And because of our, at least mine, I'm a lot older than she is, but our advancing age and you know, we have physical problems, we kind of let that vision die. And Jesse and Muriel actually got married in Belize, and Jesse said, "Mom and Dad, you gotta get that vision alive again, because Muriel and I feel called to Belize, and we're gonna take over when you can no longer do it." So we invited them to come down, and we introduced them to a lot of different pastors, and Jesse. Jesse actually, I think he said this is the first time, but he preached on a Easter Sunday in one of the churches, and he and Muriel did worship in the churches, and Muriel spoke at ladies' groups and late vision, and at one point a man had supposedly given us 5 acres of land. That didn't work out for us, but we've found another 2.5 acres of land, and it's about $75,000 U.S. for the 2.5 acres. And for Belize, that's a good price, because we've seen land anywheres from $50,000 per acre to $300,000 per acre, and this is 75,000 for 2.5 acres. So we're just praying, and we just covet your prayers with for wisdom as far as what needs to be done, and for the money to come in. We've been saving for years, but we still don't have the money to buy the land that we need. We still have a ministry in Malawi, Africa as well. We still have churches going there, and we're in contact with Pastor Yona, our senior pastor, and Colleen does do teaching over the internet and sends the teaching to them.
And just in closing, they were building a church, and they raised the money to get the walls up, and so we've sent them the money to be able to put the roof on the church, and the rains came before they could get the roof on and destroyed their walls, so they have to start all over again. So we're just trying to encourage them not to give up, just to keep, pressing in. And so now the rains have calmed down, so they're going to start trying to get those walls up again. So we just want to try to encourage those poor people. They work so hard. And, it's like, 2 steps forward and, 10 steps back. But God is in control, and he's glorified in all things. And we just thank you so much for the encouragement that many of you have been to us and coming alongside, partnering with us through prayer and finances. God bless you. Thank you.
What a privilege and what a blessing to be here. This is my fill-up stop, This is my, I'm out of the res stop, And I just want to say from the start just how much this fellowship has meant to me. And back many years ago, Pastor Paul opened so many doors for connection and relationship with churches that have brought so much support, so much encouragement, and so much prayer. And I know what I'm made of. I would not still be there without that. And as many of you have heard, I minister and work about 550 miles north of here, something like that. There is life beyond International Falls, Minnesota. About 350 miles northwest of International Falls, Minnesota, where the ice road truckers film, or used to film. A First Nation called Pikangigam First Nation. It's the northern reaches of the Ojibwe people. And it's a community of 4,300 people. When I came in 1997, there were about 1,800 people, and it wasn't because of people moving in that we have the increase in population. And oftentimes, reservations, reserves, or First Nations, as they're known in Canada, they vary. Some are very prosperous, but some are places of death and dysfunction and despair. And just out of curiosity, the other night before I was speaking in Maiden Rock, I Googled the most dysfunctional reservation in the United States is Pine Ridge, right? And just out of curiosity, the most dysfunctional reservation in Canada, Pikangigam. But what does Google know, right? We know what God knows, yeah? Yeah? And we know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think, right? And there's a phrase all the time in the scripture, but God, or nevertheless, And God has his eye on that place, doesn't he, Pastor Jerry? He's got his eye on the place of Pikangigam. And there's been prophetic words that Pastor Earl had about transformation of that community, spiritual and physical and just in every area. There's been words over that community that God's going to send people from there to the four corners of the earth. And you know what? That's what we hold on to rather than what Google says, right? For sure. And for years and years and years, I've had the opportunity to teach Christian Ed in the community school, Never had a parent complain, never had a permission form have to be signed. About 600 kids a week, grade 1 to grade 8, getting Christian education. And that's been a great, 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 great privilege. And a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, a little girl named Mira, I had been to her, where she lived when her grandma died. I knew her grandma and grandpa, Brian and Judina, right? Her grandpa had suicided. Her grandma had died. Her other grandparents had been killed in a car accident. And little Mira is grade 1. And she lives in a hotel room, a broken down hotel room where sometimes the sewer backs up. She lives there with her mom and dad and two siblings because of the housing shortages. And Mira, during Christian Ed, she's grade 1, she took off this necklace and she gave it to me and she said, "Here, this is for you." And I know she has very little, right? And I said, "Oh, Mira, thank you." And I told her dad about our message and he said, "She wants you to give it to Jesus." And I was thinking back to the time the little kid said to me, "Do you live with Jesus?" And you know, that really spoke to my heart, right? That whatever we have, we're to give to Jesus. We're to give to Jesus. And I don't know, it just kind of touched my heart a lot. Yeah. But there's some things that are at hand in Pecanjikum, okay, ministry-wise and prayer request-wise. And one of the things that I ask you to pray for are the churches. And Pastor Jerry knows the situation in the churches. We have lots and lots of evangelists that fly in and fly out, some with varying motives, some with varying degrees of maturity, some with messages you sometimes wonder about, okay? And we know that Jesus loves his church. He loves his church. And that the churches would, Pecanjikum would be what God's heart is, right? There needs to be leaders raised up in those churches. There's 4 aging pastors for 4,300 hurting, traumatized people with a lot of grief. And that God would raise up the pastors and the leaders, you know, and and that's what Pastor Jerry's about. Pray for the churches, because Jesus loves his church. Also, I work with an organization called Living Hope Native Ministries, and my director was saying, "So what do you see yourself doing at 70? That's only a few months away. At 80, at 90, right, you know?" And he's been saying, "Well, you know, maybe you need to, like, relinquish the teaching Christian ed and move more into, like, pastoral care and training up people." And going, no, I like my Christian ed. I like it, right? The message last night. But there's a shift coming, and pray that God would bring people whose heart is to teach children God's word. And I know there's people out there that can do a better job than me, okay? And that they would be brought. Specifically, we're praying for team members that are a couple that be able to model Christian marriages. We're praying for a couple that will love to teach Christian ed and that will model Christian marriage, because there's nobody in the community at this point I can send anybody to for marriages, right? And amazing, we have $150,000 in the bank for lodging to get them, right? A grants that were given for lodging for youth workers, and so that there'd be wisdom what that lodging looks like and that God would be calling the right people. Also, a praise point is that I'm not laboring by myself all the time up there, right? I've got a coworker, his name is Nick Backlund. He's from Upper Michigan. He's a character, isn't he, Ducky? He is a character. It's like God broke the mold when he made him, right? But 26 years old, passionate for Jesus. You know, taking half my Christian ed classes, but his heart is really the youth, right? Opening up this little youth center we have and just riding around in his pickup truck with no muffler, you know, bringing youth around, talking to them about Jesus. I'm so thankful for him. Pray for him for a wife. He needs to get married, you know? And to bring a wife up that has the same passion, okay? Yeah. You know, sometimes you can look and, you know, the enemy will say, there isn't much fruit around, you know, right? You know? And there were non-Christian teachers that even told Nick, well, she's been there for 30 years and what's there to show from it, right? You know, and you go, well, I'm not going to, they're just agreeing with what the devil's been telling me, right? You know? But we have one young man, his name is Mario Keeper, and he lost 3 brothers to suicide, okay? 3 brothers to suicide and struggled with alcohol, but always within that young man was a heart after God, right? After 9 years of being away from a Christian college that he had started, he went back to college, and in 3 weeks, he's graduating with a degree in applied psychology and biblical studies, and so he can be a Christian counselor. But deep in his heart, he's a pastor. He's a pastor, you know? And I'm so thankful for God touching his life in a powerful way 3 years ago, totally setting him free from alcohol. And I feel like he's a spiritual son, yeah? And I'm excited at what God will do with him. Excited. And I also do a praise report. You know, no matter what Google says, our suicide rates are down. We are no longer the suicide capital of the world. You know, we had 2 too many last year, but it's not like other years. God is at work. God is at work. And I just thank y'all for praying and for standing with us. And I know I've shared this scripture a lot, but I just want to share a scripture that's been a key one over the years. In a song, it goes like this. Well, probably that's not how the psalmist wrote it, but this is how I put it to music. They that sow in tears shall reap with joy. They that sow in tears shall reap with joy. He that continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him. They that sow in tears shall reap with joy. They that sow in tears shall reap with joy. That's his promise to all of us. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Those are worthy ministries to get behind and support. Amen. Majesty, I come with empty hands, but alive in your hand. You know, we don't have anywhere near time to share even a fraction of what God has done. But I can say this, that we've never been qualified to do anything. And Jesus is always there, you know. And, you know, this last time, India's, and we've got works in more than just India. We've got it in a lot of different countries. But India's been on our heart since 1982. We've been there. We've lived there for a lot of years. Seth and Kirsten spent 8.5 years with us there. And God has done so many things. You know, I mean, we've done thousands of crusades, trained well over a couple thousand pastors, and run meetings. We converted this vehicle into a stage thing that would fold down and self-level, and about 18 by 20 some feet, and pulled a 60 kV generator, and within 4 hours we had a crew that could set up. That went for 27 years. Same with the youth meeting. But God did so many things. He always, you know, like I said, not one person was ever qualified, but he was always there. You know, because he cares for people. And, you know, India has gotten to be really rough. And one of my best friends, like a son, you know, he's lived there for umpteen years, been an ambassador from America, had kids born there, has businesses there. They kicked him out of the country, and I'm on the same visa with him. And so for me to go back there, if you were to Google my name is Mud, pastor for 40-some years. You know, right away it says missionary to India, builds churches. I mean, just, blah. You know, when you go to India, you got to sign a paper. Anybody, I don't care who you are, you got to sign a paper. I will not engage in any Christian activity. If you do, $500 fine, immediate expulsion from the country. But, you know, I said, Corey, you know, we hadn't been able to go there for almost 2 years, you know, because of the problems that were there. I said, Corey, you got to go. He goes, okay. And then right away, my other son, Ben, youngest son, he paid his own way, and they both went there. And I tell you, it was amazing. I want him to just take a couple minutes and share. But, you know, they went there, and some of the leaders, I mean, we've been there for so many years that their sons went through our Bible school, and now they're even old. And now, you know, and now their kids, you know, their kids are doing good. But my wife, she, you know, we communicate every day because we still support the things that are there. And she communicated with one of our main guy's son that's just precious. She said, I want to thank you for taking such good care of Corey and Ben, because, I mean, they made them do 3 meetings a day. They held them all over. They had to trade them off to other ones because they couldn't keep up with it. They were running ragged, you know. We just thanked him for taking such good care. And right away his comment was, it's because we have to thank God that we're living in yours and my dad's fruit from the 80s and 90s. And we know that it ain't our fruit, it's Jesus's fruit. But what really hits my heart is that, you know, it's not going to die, because we have younger ones that are going to pick up that sword, and it's going to go long beyond us. Corey. He's better looking and more friendly, more likable than me anyway.
Not really. I'm not on the list to talk, but Dad's given me a couple of his minutes. So, and this is my normal pulpit, and when I get up here, I'm usually here for a little bit. So I'll be fast, but when I did this slideshow for our church, it was 500 pictures, and I spoke for an hour. We're not going to do that today. But in Matthew, the Bible says, and Jesus spoke to him and said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, right? And then what does it say? To stay comfortable and do what you want? Go. Go make disciples. Baptize them. The guy who's got all authority in heaven and on earth. And the very next thing is, go make disciples. I can get a little emotional sometimes. I'll shut it off. All right, we're good. And then the Bible says in John, you did not choose me, but I chose you, right? And appointed you. We're not always the ones we want to be, or chosen or appointed, but I was blessed to go. We grew up in India, so it isn't like going on a mission trip. It's like going back to see old friends and old people. Just click through some old pictures as I talk there a little bit. When they start in black and white, you know it's been a long history. Dad's up there and his mouth is wide open and he's preaching. But nothing's changed at all. It's the same. There's some good-looking younger kids there. There's my brother Ben, who was there with me on this trip. And then go ahead and stop there for a minute. But nothing's changed. And growing up as a kid, you'd learn of the disciples in the Bible and Doubt and Thomas, and he kind of got a bad rap. Because as a kid growing up, I thought, well, he's a loser. He doubted him. He didn't do... And in my mind, he really got a bad rap a little bit. But he went on after the fall and the whole process, that he went on and went to India. We all know that, right? And if you study what he did or where he went, he landed on the one coast, on the west coast, and pretty much his work went through to the east coast. He started 7.5 churches, roughly. And it's hard to know exactly how much he did. But if you look at Christianity in India, it is centralized off of that belt. Goes across, and then it fades as it gets away from that. So missionaries to India is nothing new. Us going is nothing new. We're doing the same thing. That's 2 minutes after getting there. We're up front preaching. Click through some pictures. I didn't even have church clothes on yet. Those are my airplane traveling clothes. But we got to visit and see so many people and just spread the word and talk. I noticed as I put that picture on, I got the same shirt on because I don't have that many shirts. But you can see the joy. And Pastor Wilson's been there forever and ever. And Brother Ben preaching with Yesu Panam, interpreting. And it just, the work that was started is still growing, and it's not going to fade. The Bible says to bear fruit and fruit that's going to remain. And this, India's for us, has been since the 80s. We lived there as kids growing up. We lived in that, and that was what we did. And it was just a blessing to go back and see. The first picture of the mud hut was a redemption school, and this is a current Redemption Bible College now that has had, over the years, there's been 2,500 students that have graduated from the program through there. And the churches, I don't know if it'll, the churches that are there, that's the current class that just graduated shortly after we left. But these places here, like right, that's where I'm the happiest. Different churches, visiting people that you've grown up with. That's a former pastor that didn't even, we just stopped in to see him. He didn't know we were coming. And a former Bible school student, keep clicking. That's his wife and two young girls. And when we went to his house, go back, on his wall was hanging his Bible college graduation certificate from 2007. That's a picture of him with the tie. And that's his house with his wife and two kids. It's a rented house. And he's trying to build a new church. They rent a church, but it's too small. And he's making progress. And when we were there, he asked us, just wanted us to come pray. And that's what we did. I said, I can't promise you that I can give you money to build a church. I said, but what I can promise you is I can pray for you. And we walked around that ground and we prayed about it. And God's going to do a work there. Amen. Click through a couple. Two former orphan kids that grew up in orphan homes that are now adults. They're successful businessmen. They build houses. When we went to do a meeting, there's a church right there. But they didn't want the meeting in the church. They wanted it in the courtyard of their houses to give honor to God. Go back. Hold up a little bit. And they paid for food. They paid for everything as they're there. So just to see the fruit of some of the stuff, some of the girls on the left there next to Ben there, they were just little babies not that long ago. And now the church remains, and what is there is just continuing to grow. Keep going a couple more. All right, get to there's the one I wanted. The gal on the left, I think of her as a little kid, but her name is Janny, named after Mom. And they invested in the family that Mom and Dad went through the Bible school years and years and years ago, and she was having difficulties with pregnancies. And ultimately, they came and lived with Mom and Dad, got her good health care. Janny was born, named after Mom. Now she's married. Growing up, kids, go next picture. He's a pastor, and they pastor out on the street, and they have about a 200-person congregation. And while we were there, we got to basically ordain or endorse them through the church, which was a blessing. That's their dad. You can't quite see him on the left, but next picture. And that's what they've started to build on their own already. And that's going to be, they have church right in the street next to it. But we're thanking God that God's going to provide and make a way for that. So the fruit's going to remain, and it's going to go on. Amen? What's the next picture? One more. All right, we'll stop. That's the middle of the day, unexpected stop in people that were there from their church and the congregation. But I could go on and on and on. But it's so precious to see things that were started before that are still going. And even in your absence, they're still going, and God's working. Amen? he's doing, and he's never going to fade. And before the meetings here, I had the Philippians 1:6 in my head. It's been on my heart a lot. And whenever that happens, somebody always uses it. Somebody else in a meeting or someone else prior to uses those verses. And we were getting through most of the day, and nobody had used it yet. And I'm kind of like, and then I think it was your last scripture. I don't know if you noticed the sign when you came in. That sign I kind of use a lot, and that's what I put on that sign as an encouragement. It's not going to let it go unfinished. Amen? I'll stop. Mike, amen?
Thank you. Hallelujah. You know, one of the teachings I've given recently is, without going into the scripture, the Bible teaches that all these great men that we tell Bible stories about through history, we're one of them. You know, we are the continuation of them, and he is writing every life. He is writing a faith story. And we're in the middle of that story. Amen. I just want to take a couple minutes to update on what we're doing. Most of you know that we've been involved with Pecangicum for pushing 30 years. We'll be going back up there in 2.5-3 weeks. But most of you are aware of that. Something that's new for us in this last year and a half is with Cuba. And it was 8 or 9 years ago, Larry and Jean started to share some things that they were doing in Cuba. And as they did, the Holy Spirit just leapt within me, and so to speak. And it was like, I want to go there. There was something that lit. But there was never the opportunity to do that because of my life and work situation. But then as we began to make a shift in the local church, I was able to go. And I went first with Cam and Lisa, who are now helping oversee Wilgo Ministries that Larry and Jean had established. And we did, you know, pastors' conferences and a variety of things, but it just really took hold in my heart. And so we planned another trip. A gentleman from our town or near our town and I went in January for 2 weeks. And God did some pretty remarkable things. As far as ministry of the word, we probably spoke 23, 24 times in 2 weeks. A lot of pastors' conferences, variety of churches. We are working with and have developed relationships basically with three different pastors and then pastors that they're with. We have one pastor is basically an apostle who has helped to establish and is continually going to unreached places, establishing churches in 30, 40, 50, it's hard to count. Another pastor, basically the same thing in another city. They're about 2 hours apart. And then another pastor, a rural pastor, that has brought together a group of various denominational leaders and work. We do stuff together with them when we come. One of the things that happened on this last trip as we were visiting four different pastors in the first day after we arrived, we were praying with one of them, and there was a mother or mother-in-law that was present, and she got real happy because she had this joint pain that left her. And one of the things that's been happening in Cuba and a few other places in the area, there is an epidemic of mosquito-borne illness. There's a chikungunya and dengue fever. And one of the things that happens, especially with chikungunya, is after the initial flu, it leaves arthritic pain in people's joints. And, you know, I've seen, obviously seen healing over the years, but this was something unique because this lady's joint pain left her, and I felt like it was an indicator from the Holy Spirit of stuff that he wanted to do on this trip. And it was affecting a lot of people. And so we began to pray. Everywhere we went, we began to call out and pray and lay hands and so on, specifically for that issue of the joint pain. And God gave us special grace in that. And I don't believe it's a one-time thing. I believe God gives us ground so we can walk in it. But I would say probably 97% of the people that we prayed with were instantly healed. And that was, you know, it just became a matter of course. You know, you pray, you expect, and, you know, I might have to pray for a couple different joints. But the pain, we had one pastor who normally would lead worship from his guitar. He was healed one day, and he hadn't been able to lead worship because of that. The next day he led worship, did a wonderful job. So that was a very unique thing in the area of healing. We saw a number of other significant healings. Some of them I don't know what they are because I'm working on Spanish, but I couldn't understand. And then we also got a report afterwards of somebody we'd prayed for cancer that had left. And then we were praying at one church after a service, and a man came up. He was blind in one eye. And so we prayed for him, asked him, is it better? Yes. You know, I can see her, you know. And made him cover up one eye, and he, sure enough, the Lord had opened his eye. I know you guys have seen a lot of blind eyes open. I've seen ears open, but I've never seen a blind eye open. And I don't care if it's just one, that's still great. And the thing was, is it didn't feel like you were living in some sort of amazing anointing and grace. It was just stuff happened as you did stuff the way you would normally do it in praying for people, but, you know, God was doing stuff. And that, interestingly, that pastor, where the guy's eye was healed, at the end of the service, he looked at us and he said, I want you to know that our doors are always open to you. And he said, but we don't have any doors. It was just a metal roof, you know. I could share quite a bit more. Another interesting thing, though, that did happen is we prayed, the fellow I went with and I prayed beforehand, Lord, if there's any government officials that are in attendance, because it is a communist country and it is very repressive. Don't believe any of the stuff on the press that says that it's freedom in Cuba. It is very repressive, more so than I realized the first time I went. They're not throwing Christians in jail just for being Christians for the most part, but if you speak against the government, you can go to prison for years. And there's more to say about that. But anyways, we prayed that if anyone came. And so one day in a pastor's conference, I got word from my interpreter, there's a military person here, don't say anything political, not that I was going to. And so anyways, this man, it turns out he was the head of the secret police for that province. He was a colonel. And he also had a brother who was a captain in the secret police. And the colonel, he came both days for the pastor's conference. Turns out he did have some Christian background. And we didn't really know what happened until afterwards we got a secondhand report through the one pastoral leader, and the guy had said that his whole life had been changed, and we were very happy. It was just a cool answer. You know, it'd been cool if it just happened, but to pray that and then see that. And then he told his brother, who was in the same, and his brother brought his family to the next meeting. There's a lot I could say about Cuba, but I believe that this is Cuba's hour. I mean, now. You're seeing Cuba in the news. Trump is saying, Venezuela, Iran, and he's saying Cuba's next. I pray that it's so in some way or form. And the people are praying. They're desperately desiring freedom. And so pray for Cuba. God is moving in Cuba. When we were experiencing renewal in the 90s, there's a certain atmosphere you minister in. And ministering in Cuba is more like that. The first time I went, we had, I don't know how many people were in the congregation, and we thought maybe some would want prayer. So we opened it up for prayer. Everybody. Everybody came. And most of the time it's that way. And the churches that we have been to are all looking for more space. And you're not allowed to just have church in the open air, though some of them sort of do, but you're not supposed to. But they're all looking for more space. So we have been doing a lot of humanitarian stuff as well. Cuba, food is a daily issue. A doctor makes $40 a month, and it goes down from there. And so food is a major issue for almost everybody every day in Cuba right now. So we give away food, especially at these pastors' conferences. We're helping, as you had mentioned, with some of the buildings that people are trying to do. We've helped try to give money to replace roofs that have been damaged in the hurricane that came through. Anyways, that's kind of a summary. And we're headed back. We'll leave Thursday, fly Friday. My wife is going with me, and we'll be there 10 days. And then we'll be home a couple days, and we'll be headed to Minnesota and Pecanjacum. So, amen.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right, now buckle up, because I'm going to talk for about 90 minutes. No, just a few, actually. Why don't you tell them about the anniversary?
Yeah, in 1999, when Pastor Mike went to Nepal, because someone asked him to, and he said, "I don't have time." And they said, "Just pray about it." Little did we know what God was going to begin to do there. And so 2 years ago, I sat in our compound and just cried. And I know I watched Corey, so I understand what God has done. Amazing things. You're so right, Pastor Harley. None of us are qualified. I had someone tell me one just recently, I don't know how to do that. And I said, thank God. Because if you knew how to do it, you'd mess it up. So just thank God. It's always above our pay grade when God sends us to these places. But our yes in our heart is just the biggest thing. Yes, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I don't know how. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to go do it. And so 2 years ago, I just sat there crying because, when we first started, it was just a dream that God had put in our heart and just a word from the Lord. Start a home for people with disabilities. And now I'm sitting 2 years ago in our compound, I went from rented buildings, and now we're sitting in a compound with, three or four buildings on it, and we have over 50 people that are there that we're ministering to. Well, 15 guest rooms.
Churches, yeah. Training halls, yeah. Well, I got to, you know, I like to get the
input. I was getting there. But we have the privilege this year of celebrating 25 years of our first home being open. And so we're going to go in May. We leave May 18th. We're going to go May 25th is our celebration there for 25 years. We're going to minister in Nepal for a while. The pastor of our church is coming with us. So this is going to be, pray for him because he is not used to third world. So yeah, Pastor Hector that was here a couple of years ago. Yeah, pray for him. Anyway, I told him, you're not in Kansas anymore, honey. Anyway, we're just thankful. Thankful for all your prayers, you know, all your love for us, for the people of Nepal. It means more to us than you can ever imagine. So thank you.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. Well, all right. Thank you. You know, some of you might not know a whole lot about the ministry, but, you know, Pat said about rescuing the handicapped. That's part of it. We got two large places to rescue the handicapped out of some really difficult situations. And some of them have gotten miracles. We've had cripples that could not walk, that scooted on the ground with a stick, that are walking. One of them's our maintenance guy. And he's our maintenance guy for, I don't know, since 2004 or something. And it's just amazing some of the things God's done. People that were paralyzed, healed. And you know, you think about all that, and like you said, you're not qualified. No, we're not qualified. We've planted several churches. We've gone back into the Chepang Central Mountains, and the Chepang area. There's 70,000 Chepang tribal people back in this area. It's kind of like that agency area that we went back years ago. And they used to run around the same way. The kids are naked and all of that. And to get back there, I would cross a river 16 times. And I counted it because I hate evangelistic stories. And so I'm like, I'm going to count how many times I'm actually going through this river on foot. Not would have, couldn't get a vehicle back there. Sometimes you got to take a bamboo pole and brace yourself because of the current. And I'd walk through the same river, winding all the way back into this area 16 times to get there. And then you got to go across a ledge. Now, it's not real far. It's not that far. It's maybe from here to Kirsten, the ledge. But it's only about 6 inches. 6 inches. And it is a straight face. And there's water coming out of the rock with moss. Now, it's not that high. It's probably a little higher than that banister. Maybe another 4 or 5 feet high, like a 15-foot, 18-foot drop. But there's boulders. That's enough to probably break your neck, right? So I got to go across this thing to get back into these villages. You know, thank God. Thank God there's a road now. And we can get back in there. We've helped establish 14 churches, actually 15 churches, but the one pastor married another woman. And so he's got two women. And we told him to repent a number of times and he won't. And so we count him out. So 14 churches that we've helped establish back there. When we started going back there, there were no believers. There's like no believers back there to date. They have recorded themselves 10,000 Christians back in this area. Now, it's not all because of us. It's because the power of the Word of God. But we've had a part to play in that. And to date, we've probably helped raise up about 50 churches. They don't have our name on them, but we've helped to get them going. We've either helped the pastors get going, built the building, or done something like that. And so that's pretty much what we do. We do emergency feedings. We built a shed. I call it, well, we used to call it an AIDS center. Well, really, it's a shed. It's a big metal shed that we prefabricated down in the mountain. A friend of mine, he's a pastor in Nepal, and he prefabbed it for me. We brought it up there in pickup trucks and put it up, and we keep rice and oil and salt and dal, which is lentils, because people were starving to death in these areas. They were actually dying from not having food. It's just crazy. Now, this is a place, Nepal is a place that on the books, if you get caught baptizing, there's a 7-year sentence in jail. Probably as an American, what they would do is they would stick me in jail, be there for a while, probably not 7 years, probably a few days, and then they'd blacklist you. And that's one of the things that we're always afraid of. We do not want to get blacklisted. But there's an amazing thing that started to happen. Nepal has started to open up. They're going to show you this video in a second here. That's Sister Nero. She's one of the main leaders. That is a stadium with 30,000 Christians on this Easter morning in the center of Kathmandu. This is unprecedented. This is unprecedented that they're there celebrating. And the one, I don't know if you can get the one video, you'll hear them say Pratana, which means prayer.
See the Pratana?
These are all Christians. Jemisee is praise the Lord. Jemisee is praise the Lord. These are all believers, and this just happened this past Easter. God is doing amazing things. God is opening up the country, just like you said, Jerry. There, God is opening up. He's going to open up stuff. It's just amazing what the Holy Spirit's doing. Church, please take advantage. Take advantage of what God is doing. Break off anything that tells you can't or whatever. Don't go by what the enemy's trying to tell you. Don't go by, you know, there's that scripture. We used to call it the Big 10-4, 2 Corinthians 10-4, about strongholds, imaginations, and all these things, you know. And really, all that stuff, we need to bring it into captivity. And it says, bring it to obedience of Christ. Bring it to obedience of the word. What does God say? What has God called you to do? Who are you? You are his warriors. You're his ministers. You're the ones that God's going to send forth to change places, people, nations. And I'll tell you what. We can't do it, but because he's with us, we can do it. We can do it. We have seen so much change. There used to be no churches back in these villages where we used to go. Now, almost every place where we go, we see crosses. We see crosses back in these places. And it's just amazing, and it's amazing. I'm out of time. So our next change of the phase here to do. We would like to pray. Vicki, we would like to pray for Vicki Blair, who has the dwelling. She's being licensed. And also Richard and Michelle, who has the church down in Georgia. What's the name of the church again?
House of Joy.
House of Joy. Would you please come on up? And I'm going to invite Pastor Barb to... she's been very instrumental in praying, working with them. And Vicki, if you come up, James and Annette, if you come up, that's James and Annette, that's her brother and sister-in-law. And so if you guys could just come on up, we're gonna pray over you. Amen. Amen. So, yeah. Pastor Harley, would you, and Pastor Sonny, would you help us also?
Thank you, Lord. Can I pray one thing before we start?
Yeah, absolutely. You're the president.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. These folks from South Georgia, right now, this moment, they're dealing with fires, forest fires near their home, and their family, some of them have already been evacuated because of fires. Yes, and there's a lot of pine trees where they live, a lot of them. And I was amazed. They're beautiful. We want them to stay beautiful as well as the homes. So let's just agree together. Amen. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And as was spoken, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, you gave us power and authority in the earth. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak to these fires to cease and to desist in the name of Jesus. We call in the rain in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray protection for all people, but especially for Richard and Michelle and their families and their homes and their dwellings. We pray full protection in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray over Pastor Richard and Michelle. Lord, we just pray, Father. We pray, Father, your protection. We pray your anointing. Lord, we pray, Father, we push back the darkness, anything that would try to hinder. And Lord, we ask for special grace just to come down, just to be released over them. Lord, to touch that congregation. Lord, that the word of the Lord would be rich and come through. And Father, touch the people. Activate them, Father, that the anointing of God and the presence of God, Father, we ask, would be in their meetings in a very powerful, powerful way. Lord, that all the needs for buildings, Lord, approval from government officials, everything, Father God, would come through. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your power and your presence upon this couple in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, we set you aside to the calling of God.
Hallelujah.
We set you aside. Under the shadow of his wing.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hidden from the enemy.
Hallelujah.
Very visible to God.
Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Abundance, oh God.
Glory, glory. Thank you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm sensing the Lord saying that he's going to give you some strategic friendships that are going to be newer to you, and they're actually going to be people who help you establish things in ministry in the church. One of these friends is going to be someone who just knows how to drive in stakes and put down just roots and bring stability. And another person's going to be a dreamer, a seer, a prophetic voice. And so these friendships that the Lord is going to bring to you are going to be quite, feel quite natural because you're going to really like these people. But they're going to be brought into your ministry to bring various aspects and hues into the ministry that he's painting for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.